Let us pray. Loving and gracious God, we give you thanks. We thank you for your love and kindness and for your tender mercies. We thank you for Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, who knew no sin but became sin unto death on a cross. We thank you, Lord God, that you loved us so much that you would send Jesus Christ to die for us. And so we've gathered here today to worship you. You say where two or more gathered, you are in the midst of us. So we know you are here by your Holy Spirit. Speak now, Lord God, for we're listening. Your children are listening. Speak a word of love. Speak a word of hope. Lord God, speak a word of peace. So that we may not feel as burdened as we are in many of the circumstances and the situations in our nation and in our lives. Speak, Lord, for we're listening. And take hold of me, the preacher, and put me under submission to your will. And let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, because you are our refuge and our strength. You are our Savior and our Lord. Amen. And so now here we are today on this summer day, and my sermon title today is Our Earthly Status is Irrelevant, and it's irrelevant to God, certainly, our earthly status. And what a text, and this is a simple text, and you know, sometimes we think that Jesus isn't bold, but Jesus is very bold. When Jesus is around the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the lawgivers and the lawmakers, Jesus is very bold. Jesus says what needs to be said, because Jesus came to teach, to preach and to teach and to heal, and Jesus will say what he means. And this picture depicts for everyone who exalts him or herself will be humbled. And he or she who humbles themselves will be exalted. And from that text you could see, right, that is in Luke 14, our text, what Jesus is saying here. So let me begin with a reflection today. This writer says, writes a short reflection, the limitations of celebrity. As far as I can remember, being a celebrity has never helped me make a good picture or command the obedience of my daughter or impress my wife. It doesn't even seem to help keep fleas off our dog. And if being a celebrity won't give one an advantage over a couple of fleas, then I guess there can't be that much in being a celebrity after all. Right? Being a celebrity, they build their status, as we'll see what Meryl Streep says here when she was being interviewed by the Daily Telegraph, the London paper. Meryl Streep on Hollywood's conceit. It's sort of exhausting, this self-congratulatory atmosphere in which the movie community lives. It's unbearable. We're not that important in the world, but we certainly all think we are. I shouldn't talk about it. I mean, I'm really grateful that my work is recognized, but boy, we have gotten a little bloated. It's so grand, and the outfits are so incredible, and the critique of how everybody looks, and the desperation of the people to make an impact, it really gets to me, she said, really gets to her. All this that we are fighting for, the celebrity and the status, right? And then, next slide, The short reflection says, church as equalizer. The church, God's church, is big enough and small enough to exalt the humble and humble the exalted. Right? The church is big enough to exalt and small enough to exalt the humble and humble the exalted. Right? Bring us down to size. And so we see this text that we're going to get to in what Jesus is doing here. It's a wedding banquet. You know, those of us who have ever been to a wedding or planned a wedding, how conflicting and tiring it can be, right? Who wants to sit here? Who has to sit there? They give you the little numbers. They still do. And the bride and the groom is here. And those who are more important, they get a number on a table that is closer to the bride and groom. Do you know what I'm talking about? Folks, say amen if you know. Right? And they have the table. And then, you know, they say you are table one. And you table. And those of us who are not that important, we could get table 90, right? Sometimes I get a table so far, I can't even see the bride. Can't see the bride or groom. But that means my status in the family, right? My status to the wedding, which is fine. And the father and the mother should be up front, and we see the problems. People argue about the status. People go to wedding, and they get upset about where they're sitting, and afterwards they get into argument. Am I not? Didn't I give a nice gift? Why am I sitting? Why did they put me that far? And this is a wedding banquet. This is the same thing that Jesus is now dealing with, a wedding banquet. And so Jesus is going to teach something from this that we should learn. Because you see, our earthly status is irrelevant to Jesus. What we do down here with our banquets, where we sit, who we are, is irrelevant to Jesus. Do you know that? Thanks be to God. Because if it wasn't, I could just imagine many of us wouldn't get to heaven, wouldn't it? Because all the status people would take over. And there would probably no room left for us. But there's room at the table for the banquet table in heaven, friends. There's room at the table. And so we see Jesus here talking about three main things in this text. Next slide. He talks about that it begins with healing. Jesus, by his actions and his words, addresses three issues in this text. One, healing. Two, humility. And three, hospitality. Three things: healing, humility, and hospitality. Now, and so as we see Jesus doing that, we realize that this is, I think I've lost a couple of my slides here. Oh, no, I probably keep it there. I'm sorry. I wrote it here on my paper, but I didn't write it up there. So just keep those up. Thank you. Healing. We see right in the first verse, as the Pharisees were watching Jesus closely, Jesus encounters a man with leprosy and with dropsy. Yeah, you know what dropsy is, that kind of swelling of the feet and so on. We don't say that anymore. And he heals him. It is perhaps no accident that the healing comes first. It is the healing ministry of Jesus that ignites much of the protest against his ministry. Every time Jesus heals someone, the Pharisees were upset. Either they're upset that Jesus heals on a Sunday, or Jesus heals a woman who's bent over, or Jesus heals a woman who has the issue of blood for 12 years. Every time Jesus heals, they get upset, the Pharisees. But Jesus is going to heal. And so the first thing we see happening, Jesus heals this poor man. And the Pharisees are watching because they're trying to catch him. The second thing is humility. It is said to be humble is to be so sure of oneself and one's mission that one can forego calling excessive attention to oneself and one's status. Humility. All right? To be humble is to be so sure of oneself and one's mission that one can forego calling excessive attention to oneself and one's status. Humility is a quality that is very important to the Lord. Humility means two things. One, a capacity for self-criticism. You know, when you're humble, you have a capacity to self-criticize, to say, you know, I'm not all that, or I didn't do that, or I could do that better, right? And the second feature is I'm allowing others to shine, affirming others, empowering and enabling others. Humility. I want to tell you a little story about being brought to size. Many years ago when I was much younger, I used to work in an advertising agency, 1500 Broadway, right in the heart of Times Square. I was a finance person, but it was an advertising agency that advertised for the theater. And it was called Ashladon. And you would always get tickets for Broadway. When a show was going to be opening, because the account executives would work on the shows. You see, all the advertising you see about the shows is done by account executives at the ad agencies. Now it's a little bit more, you know, technical, because we have all the new technical stuff. But they would make window carts for the buses and all of that, and it would be on the radio station when you hear an ad about come see the Lion King. It is an ad agency who's doing the advertising, right? And getting the word out. It's a PR advertising. So I was in the financial area of that agency. Liza Minnelli came up, George C. Scott came up, because they would come up to meet the AE. We're in finance, you know. But a couple of the AEs were wonderful, because they would give us tickets, right? Give, you know, the finance department, because we are making sure their paychecks and so on, their salaries get paid. So we would get free tickets. And sometimes when they cannot fill the theater on opening night, they would give you tickets. So I have gone to I used to go to Broadway shows on opening night. And you're sitting in orchestra, because they want to make sure they fill the orchestra. That's why some of those things don't even, you know, faze me anymore. Anyway, there was Elizabeth Taylor and Richard Burton was in a play called Foxfire, I believe. They're both, you know, going home now. And they needed to have to fill the theater. And I received two tickets to go to the play. So I know that day I've got to dress up. You have to really look, you know, you want to. So I got a little black dress and things. And I brought my mother with me. She had never done any of this. My sweet little mother from Jamaica, she doesn't know what Broadway is, and she doesn't know what the red carpet is or anything like that. Neither did I, you know. I know Broadway because I worked there for many years. So then we got dressed up. I did not think we had to walk the red carpet to go in. I thought we, the nobody, we were going to walk through one of the side doors and go get our seat, right? Because one would imagine. And I've gone to opening night, but this was because it was Elizabeth Taylor and Richard Burton. Everybody had to go on the red carpet and the ropes. And so when I got there and I saw that they wanted us to walk down and all the stars, you know, the people are there ahead of us and we're walking, my poor two legs were trembling. And I'm walking down and I'm thinking, Lord of mercy, what is going on here? Well, as we're walking down, there's this young kid is behind the ropes and he has his camera. And he's trying to figure out who we are, right? Who are those people? And he's looking, and I'm walking, you know, and I'm trying to hold my head down. I mean, I'm always bold, but Lord knows that was. And you could see him looking, and I hear somebody whispering, Oprah just started her show, I think. Maybe she was just coming up. She wasn't big. Like, and they're looking and they're asking like the name of a black person, you know, that is whoever that black person is. And I think somebody must say, is that Oprah? And I heard this little kid with his camera says, oh no, they're nobody. Right? They're nobody. And everybody was just looking at us, the nobodies. And I just took my mother's hand, my head down, and walked into the theater. People will humble you. We were nobodies to them. Do you understand? Because we didn't have a big name. They didn't know that my name is Marjorie Nunes. They didn't care if they knew. We were nobody, right? As we walked in, I did go in and sit in orchestra and enjoy the play, but I never forgot that I was what? Nobody. And the kid was not being mean. He really just meant, I'm nobody. I'm not one of them that he wants to snap. Certainly he didn't snap me. Maybe he did. Snap us and says, you know, they had these nobody there. Humility. People will put you in your place. You'll see. When you think you are more than. Humility is one of the hallmarks of a person of authentic faith and a central principle in the kingdom of God. You see, we want to be humble before God. And we want to have humility. Hospitality is important. Every Christian should have what? Hospitality. Now, Jesus turns to the host of the meal and he talks about hospitality. He says, don't give a dinner for your friends or family and rich neighbors. Rather, invite people who have no possible way of paying you back. Invite the poor and the dispossessed, and you will be blessed by God in the end. Hospitality is one of those marks of faithful community, you see. Contribute to the needs of the saints and extend hospitality to strangers, Paul writes. All right, Paul writes that, and the writer of Hebrews said, do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing that, some have entertained angels without knowing it. Do you know that? We have to be very careful how we treat everyone as Christians, because we could be what? Entertaining angels. God may just send somebody, a nobody, to change your life, a nobody to do something good for you. And so we see those three H's that Jesus brings before us here, the healing, the humility, and the hospitality. Because Jesus wants us to understand that heaven's table, right? That's why we say here on Communion Sunday, which is next week, our table is open. Our table is open to everyone. Right? The table, the earthly table is open to everyone. Therefore, the heavenly table is open to everyone. Doesn't matter our status. Now, what is status? Next slide. Status is position or rank in relationship to others. Status is relative in rank, in hierarchy of prestige, specifically high prestige, social standing. Do you know, friends, that all the debt people have gotten into now, many folks, is what? Because they want to get status. People buy pocketbooks to get status. They cannot afford, they'll go out and buy a pocketbook for $2,000 and can barely pay their rent, so that they believe in their head that when somebody sees them with the pocketbook, that person believes that they what? They got money. The Gucci bag, I don't even know their names, but you all know their names. The Armani, the whatever, I always say, if you have the money, buy whatever you want. But don't buy just to get status, and then you're in debt. People wear clothes to get status, right? They'll tell you, I am wearing such and such. You know, I'm wearing Marshalls. But they'll tell you, they're wearing this and this to get status. Our society, people are in debt. People are unhappy. Because they want to have status. I watch people when they're taking pictures, they want to hold, put their bag right up front or whatever they have up front so that people can see it. See that they could afford the bag or buy the bag or credit the bag, just so that because they believe in their head that if they do that, somebody will think that they can afford it or they have status. Very bad way to be. It has caused a lot of problems. People have credit card debt that is so high just to get status. People have bought houses and cars that they can't afford just to show the Joneses, whomever those Joneses are, that they're somebody. But friends, I come to tell you today that you don't have to worry about the earthly status because you have status with the Lord Jesus Christ. Just by accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you already have status. He died for each and every one of us the same way. His blood was shed for all of us the same way, right? He didn't separate and says, I am going to shed some blood for her and a little bit less for her. No, it was the same for all of us. Black, white, brown, pink, yellow, whatever colors we are. You know, the kids dye their hair in many colors now. If I was young, I probably would do some of that. All right? Status. We have status in heaven. Hebrew writer reminds us, we have been saved by God's amazing grace. When we had nothing, we were saved if we accept Jesus. When we have something and if we accept him, we're saved. He doesn't look at what we have. He doesn't look at what we are going to consume or get in the future. Jesus does not look at that, does not care. We can't impress him. Isn't that wonderful that you cannot impress our God? Because he loves us so much. You know, there are religions that they have gods and that they bring, stone gods, that they bring lots of things to the stone gods. Do you know that? They have to bring gifts to the stone gods. And the more you could bring to the temple, is the higher up you're in the temple, you know, the temple status, the more you can bring. So those who don't have much, they're way down. They can't even get into the temple. They have to stay outside and look. But we don't have to. We are all welcome at the table of God. Christian, the Christian believer. Thanks be to God for that. Amen? He doesn't care what we have. And so this picture reminds me, friends. Next slide. Reminds me of the table. This picture gives a depiction of the table in heaven, where everybody is welcome, all nations, all color, all class, all creed, welcome at the table. You know, the songwriter says, some bright morning when this life is over, I'll fly away, right? We would be rejoicing and fine. We don't need a ticket. We don't need a ticket. We don't need a reservation. The only thing we need is to have accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Amen? That's all we need, friends. We don't need a luggage. We don't need any nice luggage. We need nothing. We go as we are, just as we are. The songwriter said, just as I am, without one plea. Right? That God would die for me, just as we are. Right? And so, we're all welcome at this table. This massive table that is going to be so huge in heaven. For all of us, already so huge. That we'll sit at the table. And some people, we won't have to worry who we're going to see there or not see there. Because guess what? It's going to be so big that we won't have to worry who we see or not see. And we all are going to be at the same level. As Jesus said in the text today, don't you want to sit up top? Right? When you come to the wedding banquet, don't try to get a seat at the top. Sit at the bottom. So when the host comes, the host may move you and put you up, right? It's up to them. But if you sit at the top and you don't belong there, sit in the best seat, that host may move you and put you at the bottom, and then you'll be humiliated. It's Just sit there, sit at the bottom, and the Lord will exalt you. For the Lord knows what we have done. The Lord knows that we have been faithful. The Lord knows that we have served Him and done the best we can. And that's why the scripture says He'll say to all who have served Him, right, to come. All who labor, all who have served Him, come into my kingdom. Come, my good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few, and I'll make you ruler over much, because we have served Him. And so the last slide says, all are welcome, friends. All are welcome. So no matter where we are on the economic ladder, no matter where we are and on the influencer, what they call them now, influencers on TikTok, whatever it is. You all know a couple of young people are here. They're influencers and they're making millions. No matter where you are, the only one place that is open to everyone is Jesus. And no matter what they all have, all the big houses and all the monies that they have, no matter what it is, we all gonna die and leave it here. We can't bring it there. Isn't that amazing? No matter how rich we are, people will be fighting over it when we are gone. Family members, right? And then they're going to write a book about us and says how terrible we were. Daughters will be writing the terrible books about their family and, you know, and their mothers and sons. If my daughter ever write a terrible book about me, I'm coming back from heaven to beat her. But I'm just saying, you know, I'm going to slap her from heaven, you know, but that's what happens. So we have to do what we must now for the Lord in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, the one who did it all for us. Let's not worry about our status. And as a church of Jesus Christ, let us be open to welcome everyone. Amen. Let us be open to welcome everyone in love. No matter who they are, what they do, we don't have to agree with everything they do in their lifestyle, but we could love them no matter what. Amen? Thanks be to God.